Blog Talk Radio.
Savior Jesus Christ, greetings to you and yours. This is Holy Living Nutrition, where we discuss Christian-to-Christian hot topics to help you build your faith through the nourishment of Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm your host, Dwayne Brasfield. Now, this is not a politically correct cookie-cutter program, so thick skin is required, but let's keep an open mind and have some healthy discussions, amen? I am excited to talk to you today, and thank you for having me this morning. I want to speak to you about sharing the Word of God, but no matter what I share tonight or today, it would always be rooted in the Bible, the human manual, the foundation that all believers must read and live by. So let's get started. On today's topic, the topic is a New Year's resolution worth keeping. I mean, we make New Year's resolutions every year. Right now, the health clubs are being filled as we speak, right? Or tools and materials are being stored to complete that deck you never finished last year. I mean, people are eager to ask one another, what's your New Year's resolution, right? But there's a different type of New Year's resolution worth keeping and getting excited about, the kind that could save someone's life. Let's take a moment to read God's word in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35, 36, and 37. It starts in 35 where Jesus starts talking about what he said. He went from city to city and village to village, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they were fainted. They were scattered abroad as sheep without a shepherd. He said unto his disciples, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, ask you to reach out to those, Father, who are believers of yours, Lord, and we want to put them in a position, Father, to graduate from believer to disciple. We ask you to touch their heart with the Holy Spirit, open up their mind, and give them the opportunity, Lord, to see why it's so important to preach your word in these last days. We say these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does sharing your faith make you a little uneasy? Because if so, you're not alone. I mean, many of us felt that way. But see, true discipleship is an uncomfortable thing. It pushes you outside of your security zone, making you vulnerable to ridicule, mockery, and just flat-out embarrassment. But remember what Jesus said. He said that if you are embarrassed of me among men, I'm going to be embarrassed of you to the Father. See, if you're a believer saved by grace, you know God wants us to share in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus started his ministry for 3 years. How many years do we have to share the gospel where we sat back and just allowed people to continue to walk by? He commissions us to do this. See, my opinion is irrelevant. This is why I love the Word of God so much, is because everything God wants you to do is in there. All you have to do is take the time to read it. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, is the start of the Great Commission, where Jesus gives his disciples direction. Started in verse 19, it reads, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. You see, the agenda for his disciples was set years ago. So you can be called to be an evangelist. You can be called to be a preacher. You can be called to those things. But sharing the gospel is a function of discipleship for all believers. In other words, it's not about having a calling to do it versus having a heart to do it as well. Now, I know sharing the gospel can be very scary at times. I mean, some of the reasons Christians do not share their faith is fear, or they do not feel qualified, or over the years, they have just simply become complacent. But see, read Luke chapter 8, verses 14. In that scripture, it talks about, it's so critical to make sure we stay on point. It says in verse 14, and that which all among, and which all fell among thorns, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked out with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. What does he mean by that? What he means is, as we're believers saved by grace, we should be at a point where we're bringing fruit to the kingdom. There's a harvest, right? Jesus talks about the harvest, and he says the laborers are few. We should be going out there getting the fruit. And in a lot of cases, it's low-hanging fruit because there's people you're around every day, and you don't talk to them about the gospel. Do you realize that more than 80% of the current growth registered by churches is biological or transfer growth? Very little of that growth comes from penetrating the ranks of the unchurched. That statistic was given by the Barna Group, a Christian reporting organization. See, Christians are just moving around from church to church, or they're growing by getting married or having more children. But we're not really reaching the unchurched. We go to church on Sundays, we stay in our little box, right? And when we come outside that box, are we really showing people that we're Christians? Are there people in your circle that don't even know you believe in God? See, disciples are called to increase the kingdom. We all play a part if you are a believer saved by grace. Look at it this way. When will we start recognizing the impact we could make if all of Jesus' disciples make it a point to share the gospel with everyone they come in contact with, regardless of your personal fear? Because the harvest, going out into the harvest, depends on speaking of God with confidence. That's in Matthew chapter 10. See, Jesus encouraged believers not to let fear keep them from sharing God's word. See, it's not men God should fear. I mean, it's not men we should fear, but God, who is able to plunge both body and soul into eternal fire. See, when I was growing up, I was a Jehovah's Witness from probably the age of 8 all the way until I went to college, right? And someone took the time to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But he showed me who Jesus was by how he acted and through the word of God and not just by the opinion of man, see? And because he took the time, knowing that I was a Jehovah's Witness, to share the gospel with me, changed my life forever. Because, see, what he did was, I didn't just go run to church and all of a sudden started Bible banging people over the head, but he planted a seed. And to this day, he has no idea that the seed he planted back in college has bloomed into me having the desire to be an evangelist. See, the harvest depends on faithful disciples. Sometimes you only get one opportunity because people are dying daily without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, did you take a pass on someone this weekend? Did you allow the fear of embarrassment or the excuse of I'm not called to do that or the plea of I'm not qualified to stop you from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? The only qualifications required are total surrender to the Holy Spirit and to be used by him as a voice box for the king. See, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it talks about how you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Because if we can be fooled by the god of this world, Satan. See, he says, in all your ways submit to him, and he, who is he? The Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will make your path straight. These things are not written in the Bible just to be catchy phrases. They're things of importance. In Psalms chapter 32, if you don't want to believe that scripture, I have a few more for you. He says, I will instruct you and teach you in all the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. He will counsel us. Matthew chapter 10. Do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. This is coming out of the Bible, folks. My opinion is irrelevant. Let's go to Mark chapter 13. It says, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Again, sometimes you only get one opportunity because people are dying daily without knowing that Jesus is Lord. Well, you say, why is that our problem? Now, at this time, I'm talking to saved believers. It's our problem because Jesus paid our sin debt. We have been given a lifelong obligation to spread the good news. Although God is the only one who can open a person's heart to the gospel, it's our job to tell them, to be the voice box for him. We tell them by stepping out on faith and allowing the Holy Spirit to direct us in conversation to reach those that are in need of a Savior. See, the Holy Spirit is the only way to see real results. No scripts or catchy phrases. Trusting in the counselor, the Holy Spirit, is all you really need. But do you believe that? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit will actually help you through conversation with those you talk about for Christ? Because, see, the Holy Spirit works in divine appointments. He already knows who are sitting on the gate for him. And he sends us in their direction to be that voice box. And so now here comes this guy that's on the fence. He's waiting to hear something, right? And then the Holy Spirit is prompting you to go speak to this person because the Holy Spirit is all ready to go in, and then you pass. You pass. The power of the Holy Spirit is the key. It's not memorizing catchy phrases or Bible banging people over the head or using intimidation as a way of discipleship. No. Although many of those tactics are used daily in the harvest field, nothing is greater than allowing the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to do the talking for us. Here's some questions to meditate. How then can anyone be called on the one they have not believed in? In other words, how can someone believe in something they don't understand? There are a lot of folks that have never even stepped foot in the church. I was one of them. I never went to a church. I didn't even start going to church until after my senior year of college. Next question. How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard of? Hard to believe in something you never heard of. They might have heard of Jesus Christ and kind of got a concept of who he is, but how have they heard of them through you, through how he touched your life? Third question, how can they hear without someone sharing the gospel with them? I have no comments on that one. And how can anyone share the gospel to unbelievers unless they go to unbelievers? You have Christians that stay in their cookie-cutter Christian world, and they only listen to Christian music, and they only have Christian friends, and they only read Christian books, and then they wonder why the world is falling apart around them, while there are children in the neighborhood who don't have anywhere to go and no hope, because no one's giving them any hope. No one's going out there and saying that I got this man called Jesus, and let me tell you what he did for me. See, you have to believe in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit because all truth comes by way of the Holy Spirit. See, as the Spirit of truth in John chapter 14, his mission is to reveal Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. But he can't reveal Jesus to people unless we make sure we use ourselves as a voice box. See? Jesus said, no man gets to the Father except through me. So it doesn't matter what other religions are talking about. If you are a believer saved by grace and you believe in Jesus Christ said, nobody gets to heaven except through me, which means you're not going to go around him by doing it a different way. It doesn't matter how many people are believing in these other religions. Jesus Christ is Lord. See, the Holy Spirit, he brings us into the family of God. Whatever the truth is, the Holy Spirit is also working in there. We have to stay focused on living by the Holy Spirit and walking by the Holy Spirit. It seems unbelievable that a dynamic experience like being baptized in the Holy Spirit and the exciting walk that follows would lose their vitality. But it does. But for many who sit in the pews of the church, they have lost that luster for the lost. Jesus gave his disciples the promise of a special person that was coming. Remember that? He said he soon had to leave, and then he told the disciples, it is your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor, Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. But when he, the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth, and when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Why we don't, as a Christian body, focus more on the Holy Spirit is beyond me. Why, as a Christian body, we don't promote the Holy Spirit in our Sunday services? Because some of these people are not coming on the weekdays. You know that. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, we know he said it. The question is, do you believe it? You heard the saying, are you a fan or follower of Christ, right? I talk about it all the time. And as Christians, that is where the rubber hits the road. Because I call it, are you a believer or are you a disciple? Because a whole lot of people believe in God. How many people do we have that are disciples of Jesus Christ by doing what he commissioned us to do? In Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 21, it reads, not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? So these are church folks. I continue to read, and it says, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things. And then I will profess to them, this is Jesus talking to all these Christians who think that being a believer and a fan of his is good enough. He says, and in thy name, in 23 it says, and then I will profess unto them, what was that? I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in iniquity. See, we are so pompous that we think us humans that we're doing God a favor by worshiping him, or we're doing God a favor by saying that, oh, you know, I believe in you and I'm a good person and I do good things and that should be good enough to get me to heaven. No, that's not what Jesus said. And you're fooling yourself if you think that's enough. Believing in God is great, right? And you're saved by grace, not by works, so no man could boast. But here's the thing, are you truly saved if you don't believe? If you don't fully believe? Just because, okay, I believe God exists, and I kind of sort of believe Jesus exists. I remember in the movie Left Behind, that pastor that was left in the church. He said, I gave sermons every day. I don't understand, Lord, why am I still here? See, did you fully believe what you were talking about? See, you can get saved and have this feeling of joy and wow, you know, the Holy Spirit can come upon you. You can be crying at the altar and all that whole thing. But the Holy Spirit is more than just a feeling. See, here's what fans tend to do. And what I mean by fans are those who who believe in Jesus, are fans of him, but they don't really, really plan on being a disciple. That's too much work. That's infringing too much on their life. See, they confuse their feeling for faith. But your feelings are not faith until it is expressed. When it comes down to it, ask yourself, do I know Jesus? But here's the important part. Does he know me? Remember what he said. A lot of people are going to say, Lord, Lord, right? Lord, Lord, I was a nice person. Lord, Lord, I was nice to everybody. I never did anything wrong. I was always doing it. People say, I didn't know you. You didn't have a personal relationship with me. When did we sit in prayer and we talked? Are you walking with me? I don't recall that. See, he said, I didn't know you. So at the end of the day, it comes down to your personal relationship with Jesus, where you know him, trust him, and he knows you. If you could, take the time to think about that, because that's the type of thing that could change lives forever. Remember, the unchurched and the non-believers are not knocking down church doors to get in. We have to bring the church to them through discipleship. Because evangelism, wow, what a powerful word in the body of Christ. Evangelism is a spiritual activity, though. You have to do something to be an evangelist. You have to do something to be in evangelism. People reject Jesus because they don't see him. And the only way he's going to see him is through us. At the end of the day, that's where we are. Steve Sampson, a Christian author, he said in a book, I was always on my mind, are we building Jesus' kingdom or are we building our kingdom? He writes, and I quote, the power of the flesh far exceeds that of any evil spirit in hindering the work of God. God isn't in a struggle with the devil. He has already defeated him. His desire is that our will, our willful and unruly flesh, be in submission to his spirit. See, he wants us to be in submission to his Holy Spirit. See, friends, Jesus and the disciples went after people because people are dying every day. They didn't just say, sit down on Mount Sinai and wait for people to come to them. How long would it take the Christian body to be on an organized front in the local community sharing the word of God with whomever will listen? If not the Christian body, then who's going to do this? Who is going to share the gospel? And if it indeed is the Christian body, when are we going to start doing this as a church? Not just a few people here and there, but as a Christian body where we are visible for people to say, who are those folks there? Well, we want to make sure they know we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. See, I come to you tonight to help believers understand the demand of being a serious follower of Jesus Christ. Being a serious follower of Jesus requires total commitment, according to Luke 14. Total commitment. That's the key. There comes a point in every Christian's walk where you come up to a crossroads, right? Well, you have to ask yourself, am I a follower or am I a fan of Jesus Christ? I mean, perhaps you believe in Jesus. You might even attend church every week, right? Host a small group or Bible study, even volunteer at church function. But is that what it means to be his disciples? The purpose of me being in this position to talk to you today is to make it clear what is involved in being a true disciple of Jesus Christ, not based on what I'm saying, but based on what Jesus Christ said, what God inspired men to write down. Because you can never be a true disciple without a changed heart. You can't do it without changing your heart. You have to have a passion for the lost. Why would we not want to change our heart for the one who gave us his only begotten son, the Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi? That means the Lord, our banner. The name has to do with warfare. In this instance, the warfare involved God's very own. Our Father is willing to wage war on our behalf. one area of great battles has to do with our carnal nature. Do we have a heart to release our carnal nature of to do God's work? So let me ask you another question. Do you know where you would be without someone sharing the gospel with you? If someone hadn't told you about Jesus, you'd be separated from God, living without his help, and facing the prospect of his righteous judgment after death. I mean, sadly, that's where most people in this world are today. They're heading straight to hell, and their hope is in Jesus, because he is the only way to get to the Father. Yet many have never even heard of him, not the real Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. They heard the Jesus of men, but who has heard of him has misconceptions of who he really is. They don't really know. They draw conclusions to things that they simply do not understand. Hearsay knowledge of Jesus Christ. See, this is why believers must have a heart of God and a vision for the world. The last direction Christ gave his church was, you are witnesses of these things. Like them, we must remember that whenever God plans a vision in our hearts, he has a purpose and a blessing in mind. If we take the first steps of obedience, the Lord would lead us to the second and provide everything we need. So what does the heart of God look like? Well, it's a desire to know him. It's a desire to obey him. And it's a desire to share. See, Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Why did he say such a thing? Because he knew our nature, see. Giving up our time and overcoming the fear of sharing the gospel of Christ is hard to do for some believers, but easy for disciples, see. The more confident a person is, the more likely he will share his faith with others. If you consider yourself to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ, you cannot go out without a plan. You have to be prepared. See, this is the reason why the Jehovah's Witnesses were so successful, because they met on Thursdays and they had a theocratic school where their believers in the Jehovah's Witness sect, right? They studied and practiced as a church body. It wasn't just one or two guys randomly going out there preaching the gospel in all these random ways. They had an organized front. How much powerful can we be with the Holy Spirit? See, we try to do things outside of the Holy Spirit as a church. And now we're in a position where we can give God everything we have. But see, sacrifice comes with the cost. Sacrifice is always something with the cost. But when I think of sacrifice, we need to remember that the Lord Jesus gave the greatest sacrifice that could ever be given. If sincere men and women networked together in a church and dedicated to proclaiming a balanced biblical message with Jesus Christ as the only foundation, there's no way with the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit will be left behind. As you follow Jesus Christ, trust in the Holy Spirit, you might say, I can't figure it out, but God says, I will direct your steps. You may say, it's impossible, but God says, all things are possible. You may say, I'm not smart enough, but God says, I will give you wisdom. You may say, I'm not able, but God says, I am able. You may say, I can't do it, but God says, you can do all things through Christ that lives in you. You may say, I'm afraid, but God says, I have given you no fear, but power. To God be the glory, because the devil is a lie. Jesus is Lord. It's time to declare war down every street corner and every person that tries to denounce our faith. But not a war of destruction, a war of love. Show them how much we love them by going out and talking to them about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't turn your back on the lost. Don't turn your back on the Christians that are out there trying to fight and discouraging them by saying you shouldn't be infringing on people's time. Somebody infringed on yours. At the end of the day, saints, give God everything you got. Until next time, I'm Dwayne Bradfield. God bless. Hey, hey.
G-O-D. God, homie. K-Joe on the mic. B-Flat on the track. G-O-D. Yeah. Choked up when I think of